Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello again. This is Mickey Desai, your host for today's episode of Nonprofit Snapcast. Thank you for joining us. This is episode number two with Heather Yando. Heather, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, absolutely. We talked quite a bit last episode about five questions that every nonprofit should answer before they call a consultant. I wanted to ask you this time for your own personal stories around maybe some of the work that you've done. If you can generalize and anonymize, tell us about some of the work that you've done with nonprofits. You know, what works well, what doesn't, what are some of the more difficult things you've asked nonprofits to do? Where were the speed bumps? What were the outcomes? Things like that.
Great. So generally, the work that I do with nonprofits is all along organizational development. So I primarily work with small nonprofits. So for me, that means budgets under $2 million and usually staff of 20 or less. And that is my background. I come from small nonprofits and have worked primarily with them for the past few years. So for organizations like this, I do a lot of strategic planning, a fair bit of board development, a good bit of training and meeting design and facilitation, and some leadership development programs. So I've worked with all kinds of nonprofits. I'm based in North Carolina, so I do a lot of work here and do work across the country.
Do you have a favorite kind of client?
Good question. So this is something that my business partner and I are always talking about. Is what kinds of clients do we want to get and who do we want to work with? And I'll say my favorite kind of client is an organization that is led by somebody who can see the possibilities for their organization, who is excited about trying new things, who really wants to learn how to lead their organization even better and is ready to tackle some change.
Because it sounds to me more like that a consultant doesn't necessarily do work for the organization, but they actually teach the organization to change some of their own behaviors.
I think that is certainly how I approach consulting. Mm-hmm. And there's different schools of thought. You know, I often say to an organization, you all are the expert in the work that you do. I'm the expert at helping you have the conversations that you need to have. I'm the expert at managing the project so that we can work through all these different pieces. I'm building the container, building the holding environment for you to have the kinds of conversations you need to have. And yes, my hope is that when I leave, some remnants of what I've done remain and you're able to have more and different conversations after I'm gone.
In your experience, where do those conversations tend to fall apart, if they fall apart?
Good question. So I think one of the things is that they're just not being had. Mm-hmm. So people are not taking the time and space to have difficult conversations or important conversations. Oftentimes we are, as staff members or board members, running from meeting to meeting. We're answering emails. We're putting out fires. We're not in our staff meeting, taking 30 minutes to think about what would make this a fantastic environment to come to work in. The board meetings are so packed, we are not taking a few minutes to think about what do we want to be known for in 10 years. To really having these long range questions and thinking. So first is that they're not having the conversations. I think second piece is that folks don't necessarily know how to construct and facilitate these pieces. So the conversations, maybe one person throws out a juicy question and there's 10 minutes of conversation, but it's not really facilitated. It's not captured. Nothing ever happens with it. So it just kind of falls flat. Mm-hmm. So those are the two big challenges that I see, particularly around the kinds of questions that I'm often working with people on.
Right. And I hope the listener understands that I'm not trying to paint a negative picture of the process here. I'm just trying to identify the places where things fall apart so that we can avoid them.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of what happens when all pistons are firing and everything's running right and it goes well? And you know, how does the outcome come about? And is there a handoff point when you say, okay, I'm done. See you guys later.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm finishing up some strategic planning with a fantastic organization. And they were committed as a staff to do this work, this a long-term strategic plan, really excited about getting a lot of their questions answered. And early in the conversations we had, they decided to actually hand off a program that was an entire kind of strategy of work that they had been doing. So they had a couple of different strategies that they were pursuing. One didn't really fit. And after a lot of conversation, they were able to say, okay, we understand that this no longer fits our organization and we need to celebrate the success and let it go. And a year after we had those initial conversations, that program has been transitioned, the staff has found other places to land, and the organization is on a very different path. It took a lot of work on behalf of the staff. This conversation that we had in the last podcast about how much organizational time and bandwidth can you devote, they devoted a lot of organizational time and bandwidth. Mm-hmm. So that's a place where the pistons were all firing. They were doing all the work they needed to do, all that internal change work.
That's fantastic. We've talked about the kind of consultants, the kinds of gigs that you like to get. We've talked about a nonprofit's readiness and willingness to be active leaders in their own transformations. What comes next?
So you asked a question a minute ago that I'm not sure I answered, which is, how do you know when the work is done?
Yes.
Which is a really interesting question. You know, on the one hand, as we design projects, we're really clear at the front end about what the scope of work is. You know, we lay out, this is how many meetings we're going to have. These are the deliverables. And what I know is that that scope always changes, or at least it almost always changes when you're working with me, because we get into it and learn new things, or we figure out that schedules have shifted or somebody's on a sabbatical. And so we have to move things around. What I have discovered over doing this work for a number of years is that the change that needs to come in the organization often happens at the tail end of particularly a strategic planning process. So after the decisions have been made, after the plan has been approved, that's when the real work starts. That's when the organization has to really reorient itself to this new future or make some shifts, as we've talked about. And so what I've started to build in as part of any work that I do is coaching for organizational leaders at least 6 months after what would traditionally be considered done, because that's what's really going to make it stick. That's what's really going to help people figure out how to implement it, help them think through roadblocks and conquer those. So it's less of a hard end for the work that I do than it used to be.
Right. And you've built in actual follow-up and, as you said, coaching so that nothing remains stagnant.
Yes, nothing remains stagnant, and that whatever product we create doesn't just go on a shelf or go in a grant report and never get looked at or touched again.
And there's always some danger of that happening. I mean, nonprofits get so wrapped up in their mission-oriented activities that they forget there's the whole other side of the business that needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and we know that it's hard for organizations to make change. It's hard for people to do things differently. So if this great conversation that you've just had, this 9-month process has developed this beautiful new vision for the future, even if you're super excited about that, it can still be challenging to move forward. It can still be hard to live into that vision for lots of good reasons, even when you're super excited about the change.
One more time for our listeners, if they wanted to be in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Best way to keep in touch with me is to go to nonprofit.ist, nonprofitist. You can also find us on LinkedIn. We have an active community there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Heather. This has been really great. I appreciate you taking the time to be a guest with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. You can always find our old episodes on our website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And join the conversation on Facebook. Just search for Nonprofit Snapcast there, and we'll look forward to seeing you in about a week. Thank you very much.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.